Welcome back to the program. One of my favorite people from the Hollywood Reporter, TV critic Daniel Feinberg. Good evening, Daniel. Welcome back to the airways of WGN.
Thank you much for having me.
Sure. Especially since we got a top 10 TV shows of the year. And that is a very appropriate thing to happen at this particular time. You know what I mean? Because the top 10 this, and the top 10 that, and the worst of this and the best of that. That's what we're doing.
I feel as if I have been putting together lists pretty much nonstop for the last couple of weeks. My top 10 overall, best episodes.
Wow.
Over at the Hollywood Reporter, you can check out a list of entirely random superlatives that my colleague Angie Hahn and I put together, just listing like crazy.
An entirely random list of superlatives. I like that.
It's mostly silly. In fact, I believe my description when I saw the list that we finally put together was, this is cute. So that's, you know, high praise from
so
me, for me.
We've got 10 of them, and I want to get to all of them. So you take it away. Where would you like to start?
For whatever reason, at the Hollywood Reporter, our lists go 1 to 10, but I'm personally more predisposed to going 10 to 1. So let's start at number 10, where I have Peacock's We Are Lady Parts, which is a 6-part comedy about a London-based punk group of all Muslim women. It is genuinely funny. The songs are very, very catchy, and it's heartwarming in a way that I found really, really appealing in yet another tough year.
Yeah, and also a great concept for a show where you have, you know, not everybody thinks about Muslim women. Well, hello, Muslim women and punk rock bands. I mean, that's I like that.
And the whole point of the show is sort of working against stereotypes and expectations.
Right, exactly.
It's a big-hearted show. So at number 9, I have Anna, which is probably the most obscure show on my list. It is a Italian-produced post-apocalyptic drama about a world in which a global pandemic. Sounds like fun, everyone. I can tell. A lot of people are eager for this. In which a global pandemic has wiped out basically all of the grown-ups. And so it is an entire world in which the children see it's not just a show people are looking forward to. It's a show that sounds funny, apparently.
I have not seen it, but I've got to see this. I love it. All the grown-ups have been wiped out. Imagine
the grown-ups are gone. It turns out the kids are not so great at running society, but also the pandemic, it only goes latent. So when the kids actually go into adolescence, they die too. So it's constantly a refreshing cycle of young children running the earth. It is filmed and set in Sicily, in Palermo. It is gorgeously shot at every turn. It is harrowing and nightmarish, but it is also full of hope and heart. I definitely understand why some people wouldn't want to watch it. Also, it's on AMC Plus, a channel that lots of people don't know exists, but I really dug it.
Yeah, you know what? I don't have AMC Plus, but now that you mention this, I think I'm going to go get it because this sounds like a great show.
No one does. I'm constantly trying to tell people, and you know. So if you find yourself going, boy, I'd like, you know, I have AMC Plus. Is there anything to watch?
Yes.
Here's the answer.
Yeah.
So going next.
What do we have? What do we have next? I'm sorry, as we talk over each other. What do we have next?
Up next, we have The Great, which is on Hulu, which is sort of a alt history version of the life of Catherine the Great, starring the wonderful, or great if you prefer, Elle Fanning, and the equally tremendous Nicholas Hoult. It is a genuinely funny show. It is edgy and strangely loopy for a show about Russian history, and it's just a real pleasure to watch, and it's on Hulu, so lots of people actually have access.
Yes. In fact, I'm pretty sure my wife is listening right now, writing this down, all of these, because of the continual search of finding new content goes on unabated. So
it's what I'm here for. It's what I'm here for.
Right, exactly. All right, we're at number 7.
Number 7 is Paramount Plus's Evil, which some people will remember as CBS's Evil, but then it left CBS because, you know, it's hard to be a good TV show on broadcast television these days. And it does something remarkable, which is it's a show that's a horror show, and it's actually scary, and it's sometimes very, very funny, and the cast is really wonderful. And moving to Paramount Plus gave the show a little bit of extra room for all of the performances in the second right. season, I thought was really terrific.
Good. I'll take that recommendation, too. The next one I love. The next one I went crazy for.
Up next would be number six, and that is For All Mankind on yeah. Apple TV Plus. Do you want to tell the kids what it is? Because it sounds like you're a fan.
I am a fan, but no. I leave the criticism to the professionals.
Well, this is another alt history. Several of the shows on my list are alt histories for whatever yeah. reason, maybe because real history and real life requires alterations. But it is about the space race. The first season starts in the 50s into the 60s, but we're already into the 80s by the second season. And it's a yeah. version of history in which the Russians got to space first. And it yep. is historically interesting. It is a wonderful ensemble cast, terrific special effects. It's just a big, thoughtful, ambitious show. And the second yeah. season, I thought, was
yeah, it really is
wonderful.
I'm moving to number five.
Number five is, and this is one that most people will not know, it is Exterminate All the Brutes. It is a four-part HBO documentary from Raoul Peck, who some people will know did a James Baldwin documentary that was wildly acclaimed a couple of years ago. And it's kind of a historical omnibus tying together capitalism, genocide, racism, sexism, basically all of the problems in the world into one four-part documentary. It's incredibly ambitious. It makes some major intellectual swings, and when it works, to me, it works tremendously.
All right. I'm going to check that out, too. Number four I have seen. Yes, and it is good.
We are sticking with HBO, and people will notice there's a lot of HBO on my list. Just
yep,
how it well, goes.
That's how it goes. That's why HBO is HBO.
True story. Yep. So, yes, White Lotus is number four on my list. That is Mike White's satire about the horrible wealthy people who take a vacation at a Hawaiian resort, and everything goes entirely pear-shaped. It has one of the best casts on television, and all of the performances were terrific. It is a show where you start off hating everybody, and maybe you find some affection for them by the end. Wonderful mm-hmm. performances from folks like Jennifer Coolidge, yeah. And it's just a really good show. And Mike White is incredibly talented. If people haven't watched Enlightened, which is also sitting around on HBO Max, it's well worth checking out as well.
All right, number three.
Number three is one that definitely I have talked about with you in the past, yep. and that is FX on Hulu's Reservation Dogs, which is about four Oklahoma teens who are living adjacent to a Native American reservation, and it is just their life. It is like no TV show that you've seen before. It's a coming-of-age show, so it's familiar, but it is an entirely specific environment. It is yet another comedy here that actually is funny. Wonderful ensemble of people who you don't necessarily know, but who you will fall in love with very, very quickly. It is a great cast and a really great show.
Now, this next one, I think, is one of the most talked about shows, at least in my recent memory.
It is definitely a show that the people like to talk about on social media and whatnot. Whether it's all that popular, it's impossible to know because the people who right. love it are so loud and they want to let everyone know. And that would be, of course, Succession, another yes. HBO show.
Yes.
So, and
a group of completely
you know, look, if they make,
people,
if they make
a group of people with no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
No redeeming qualities among them. No redeeming characters among them. And
no.
yet they're really great to spend 60 minutes with every yeah. Sunday night. And I've been sad for the month since it went off the air, and I can't wait for the next season.
Right. Now, what do you have as your number one then?
My number one show of the year is The Underground Railroad on Amazon, which is Barry Jenkins' adaptation of Colson Whitehead's Pulitzer Prize-winning novel. It is another of the alt histories that I mentioned. It is set in slavery South, and it focuses on a couple characters who are trying to escape from slavery on the titular Underground Railroad, and it is such a gorgeous piece of storytelling. It's just, you watch it, and every frame is astonishingly shot. Every performance is perfectly pitched. The music is wonderful. The sound design is tremendous. It is just an ambitious, fantastic piece of television adapting a wildly acclaimed and fantastic novel.
Yeah, absolutely. The Underground Railroad, which is on Amazon. I got into a series that had a two-episode wrap-up last night called Condor, and on Epix, and I really liked it. It's based on the stories of the Day of the Condor. It's espionage, and oh boy, the two episode finale was, I thought, spectacular. But then I've been following it the entire season. Some of the shows I thought were, some of the episodes were a little lacking, but man, did they make up for it, I thought, at any rate. You've seen that, I'm sure, because you see everything.
I have seen it, but I saw it back when it first premiered on DirecTV like 3 or 4 years ago, and then
kind of
lost it when it vanished. It sort of it premiered on the Audience Network on DirecTV. It went away for a couple years and then popped back up on Epix for this season. So good to know that the second season was a good one. Good to get recommendations.
I thought so anyway. I'm just going to shift gears to, you look at the movies too, right, don't you? Of course you do.
Some, but not as, it hasn't been as many in the past couple of years because you might have heard we've had a pandemic and stuff.
Have you seen Don't Look Up?
I have, and it is funny to me how wide the gap of reactions are.
Yes, indeed.
That movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you pro or con?
Oh, I'm pro. I'm totally pro. I mean, all I needed to see was Meryl Streep as the president, and in the Oval Office, a framed picture of her and, now I'm drawing a complete brain fart. Steven Seagal. There's Steven Seagal and I'm like, that's all I need to see. I love this movie.
I wish I had loved it more. I keep seeing people comparing it to Dr. Strangelove, the people who love it. And Dr. Strangelove was a 94-minute movie with no fat on the movie. This one was 2.5 hours, and boy, I wish I could have seen a 94-minute version of it.
I understand. It's not perfect, but it's unique, at least in my opinion.
No, you are not the only person who loves it. The people who love that movie love the heck out of it. So,
I also observed in your a list of television shows and in the honorable mentions, counting public broadcasting as a network you would watch back in the day over regular television, and the Wonder Years, which is on ABC. Those are the only two quote unquote back in the day pre-streaming television shows to even get a honorable mention on this list, right?
It's true that you could, if you wanted to, pretend to count Evil because it was at least initially ordered and aired its first season on CBS if you want to, but no, you go to my second 10 and Philly DA from PBS, which I thought was a wonderful documentary series, and then the remake of The Wonder Years, which to me is kind of the best case scenario of our current culture where everything has to be rebooted and remade and all of that. I think it's just a wonderful personal story that somehow got made because they were able to use a title that people like. But to me, it's its own thing entirely. And I love The Wonder Years. Yep. I grew up on The Wonder Years, and the new version to me is every bit as good as the classic show.
Well, thank you once again for sharing your opinions and expertise. That's Daniel Feinberg, TV critic from The Hollywood Reporter. Have a great new year, Daniel, and we will, as they say, talk to you next year.
Looking forward to it. Happy New Year.